welcome to this week's Up and Running. Doing this job, presenting this show, I'm always amazed at how generous people are in telling their stories, and today is no exception. This morning I'm joined by author Arlene Murphy from Donegal, and she has written a book called Grace Saved a Wretch Like Me. I read the whole book in one sitting. It's a story of abuse, heartache, tragedy, alcoholism, drug addiction. But most importantly, it's a story of hope. A story which proves no matter how difficult your life gets, there is always light at the end of a dark tunnel. And this morning I am in Ballyshannon and I am delighted to be joined this morning by Arlene Murphy. Arlene, thank you very much indeed for joining me on this morning's show.
Thank you, Claire. It's great to be here. Thank you very much.
Well, many of you will know Arlene from the area, but Arlene is the author of the book, a self-published book called Grace Saved a Wretch Like Me. It's a book of hope. And a very interesting book, and it's for sale in all good bookshops, of course. Arlene, you really wanted to tell your story. What you really wanted to achieve was that if anyone was at the rock bottom, that they could see how you can turn your life around.
That's exactly, you have it in a nutshell, Claire. I think my own story is so traumatic. I really thought that, you know, anyone coming from a similar background, if they felt anyway hopeless, that there is absolutely recovery for all of us. That is the essence of the book.
Okay, and it started with you sitting in the garden when I met you, or when I heard about you. You were sitting in the garden looking at your garden shed. And I really do understand that. You were just sitting, having a lovely quiet moment, looking at this garden shed, and you thought, I never thought I'd have a garden shed.
That's so true. It really did just hit me. And that, as you say, was literally just the other day. Because, you know, when I was at my worst in London, and I woke up in many different places and on outdoors or indoors, and the possibility of ever even having a garden shed was so far removed from the world I was living in. So for me to be able to sit in my own garden and see that I actually had a shed was very, very poignant for me.
Tell me, Arlene, your story. It started when you were quite young.
Yes, it started when I was actually 7 years old. And unfortunately, that's when the abuse started. I was sexually abused by 8 different people. And one of those abusers was actually a woman. So I had, I did have a very difficult start, sadly.
And did you seek help from any family member or did you tell anybody?
At the time, I didn't, Claire, because the first abuser was very, very close to the family. He was a very close friend of my dad's and he worked with my dad. And he terrified me so much. My dad was a hunter, a very outdoors man. And this guy told me that if I told that my dad would shoot him and that then my dad would go to jail and it would be all my fault. And the thing that, you know, about that threat was that it was absolutely true. That's exactly what would have happened.
A huge burden for very young shoulders.
Yes, although, you know, at the time, I just lived day by day, hour by hour. I didn't really see it. I suppose I couldn't take on that burden. I don't think I would have survived if I had to actually do that. And it's strange, you know, the child on the front of the book is me when I was 7. It's an old school photograph taken from the Wee Rock School. And I didn't actually recognise that child. I think my way of surviving was that I had totally detached. I don't think I would have survived any other way.
And when did you start abusing alcohol and drugs then?
Well, I moved away from Ireland in my early 20s, I think, you know, 20, 21. And I really hadn't been using alcohol or drugs previous to that. I have a fabulous family. I have great support from my family. Because obviously I'd told my mum about what was happening when I was about 14. So mum and I became very, very close after that. She was my protector, my minder. So I felt very well supported at home. But of course I still had the torture and the fear about what had happened to me and what might happen again. So when I went to London and I discovered alcohol, I thought it was fabulous.
Just going back, when you told your mum when you were 14, did the abuse stop then?
Yes, it did, because my mum never left my side. Her and I were best mates. Everywhere she went, I went. The only place I ever went without her was to school. And even then, I always felt that she was with me. So I felt so much safer by mum knowing. Of course, we had to make a pact that she wouldn't tell my dad, because the threat was still very real, and she was very much aware of that as well. Although, you know, I hadn't told mum about all of them. I only told her about the first guy because he had already moved away. So I felt safe in telling her about him, but I didn't tell her about the rest.
And when you went to England and you found you could drown your sorrows in alcohol, or your personality changed, or did you not care as much? What did alcohol give you in that time?
You know, Claire, I often say now, alcohol saved my life. Do you know, and I don't want to sound, you know, iffy about that, but it did give me relief. It allowed me to sleep. If I had nightmares, I didn't remember them. I was very much a lone drinker. I was sociable, but I drank more alone. And when I was alone, that was when I was most tortured. So I drank much, much more when I was on my own. But it did. It gave me great relief. It allowed me to forget.
And then drugs?
Alcohol stopped doing it as good as it did. I think I probably built up some tolerance. And also alcohol is very obvious because, I mean, I had to work, so I couldn't drink while I was working. So drugs gave me another way out. And I could function while drinking and drugging, because it was almost like drugs allowed me to drink, because they sobered me up, and then they allowed me to eat, because I would take one drug to come up and I would take another drug to come back down. And all the time I was drinking alcohol, but you know, only the people I was closest to would have known what I was doing, and the only reason they knew was because they were doing it as well.
And that is the sad sort of whirlwind that people go on with addiction, isn't it?
It is, you know. Even outside of addiction, you know, our friends tend to have the similar interest to us. So you hang out with like. So yeah, you're not judged when you're, you know, with another crowd that are doing the same thing. We were all actually coming from difficult backgrounds, you know, and her one friend of mine actually was a musician, and she used to write her story. She used to sing her story. So, you know, we were all coming from places of pain, I think.
And then, Arlene, what happened? I mean, did you have a traumatic event, or did you just get totally rock bottom to change?
Claire, I came round one day in a dingy, dingy bedsit. And I really thought I was going to die. And I thought about my mum. Sorry. Sorry.
It's okay.
I thought, you know, it would kill my mum to find out exactly what I was doing, and that, you know, I had died in a bedsit in London. So I rang my sister and I said, I can't do it anymore. I don't know what to do, but I just know I can't do this anymore. And the next morning, my eldest brother was on the doorstep to bring me home.
You've an amazing family.
Oh, Claire. And they still are, you know. We really, I think, you know, my dad died when we were quite young. And my mum instilled in us, you know, to be there for one another. And we do, and I haven't said that, we don't live in each other's pocket, as they say. But absolutely, my niece is a lovely way of putting it. And, you know, she said, because of course it's the extended family is the same, cut one and we all bleed. It's a fabulous phrase. I'd never heard it before. But yeah, we do. I'm so fortunate, of an amazing family.
So you came back to Donegal then, did you, Arlene?
I did. I came back home to Ballyshannon, to my mum's, back on the rock. And I was immediately brought to a GP. And actually, he was a locum in Ballyshannon from Burndorn. And I mention him in the book. He was a lovely, lovely, lovely man. I didn't think I was going to be treated the way I was by him. He was such an absolute gentleman. But I was very unwell. My body was just wrecked. I have epilepsy, so I was going in and out of seizures, and, you know. He referred me to Sligo General, and I was there for about a fortnight to detox and get well. And shortly after that, then I went to White Oaks Rehab Centre in Donegal.
And you're physically could be patched up and put together in Sligo General, but mentally that was, I suspect, a much bigger job to repair yourself mentally.
Absolutely, and I didn't know how to do that. I think I was still actually disassociating from all the stuff. That's kind of how I survived, really. And even, you know, rehab that time wouldn't have dealt with any kind of issues as big as mine. They worked solely with the addiction, but I found it very hard to try and deal with the addiction and not deal with all the other stuff, you know. I was drinking and drugging to try and manage what was going on. And then, you know, coming out of rehab, they took away the crutches I was using just to survive, and then I was terrified. Then I didn't know what to do. I just didn't know what to do then. I was really scared.
What do you think brought you through then, that very difficult period?
Family, again, every time. But, you know, White Oaks have a 2-year aftercare programme, and that really sustained me. Absolutely sustained me so much, because I still had a link with them, and that was like a crutch in itself. They then, you know, when I was, I guess, maybe a bit stronger in recovery, they suggested that I go to another counsellor to deal with the abuse itself. And I did that, and as very, very happy to do that. I was in counselling with the Rape Crisis Centre for almost a year. And that's when I started on the right track. I was able to then manage without using any substances to deal with all of this.
And an actually beautiful event in your life happened, which really made you turn the corner, the birth of your beautiful niece. You were telling me about her yourself. I can see the pride and love in your face.
Yeah. People had said, actually, at that time, that the only time I smiled was when someone mentioned the word Grace. And yeah, Grace is my niece. And, you know, the beginning of it was that White Oaks do family days, where the family comes in and speaks to you about the things that made, how you made their life difficult because of your addiction. And my sister actually said to me that if I couldn't stop drinking, and using drugs, then I couldn't be around Grace. And I understood that, because there was, not a lot of people know this, but there was one day I was in Michelle's house, and of course I drank 24/7 that time, but I heard Grace cry, and I went upstairs and carried her down the stairs as a baby, and I could have, you know, it could have been awful tragic. So I didn't know that until she told me that at White Oaks, and that was my turning point. Grace saved me.
And as the title of the book says, Grace Saved a Wretch Like Me. Wonderful title. I just want to remind you out there, just in case you missed the beginning of this interview, that I'm joined by Arlene Murphy this morning from Donegal, and she has written a book called Grace Saved a Wretch Like Me. Arlene, you've been clean now for how many years?
Grace is 16 years old, and that's my benchmark. Grace is the same years as I am sober and clean.
And now you are giving back.
I trained in, I'm an integrative humanistic counsellor. I now work specifically with childhood trauma. I started my training in addiction, and then I moved on to the cause of the addiction. So now I work primarily with people, not necessarily in addiction, but people who are struggling and just don't know how to cope.
And do you enjoy that part of your work now? How do you feel about it?
I love it. I'd do it for free if I didn't have to pay the rent. Absolutely. I love it, you know, and I've always said, I'm sure people have heard me say this, a lot of counsellors would say the best day is when a client will walk into the room. And I totally agree with that. But for me, what tops that is the day they walk out. I love it when I can say goodbye to a client and, you know, they lift their skills and their tools and they walk away and they live the life they should have led before. That's what keeps me going.
Arlene, if anyone is listening today, and they may not have the same childhood horrific experience that you had, they have other issues, I suspect you'd urge them to get counselling.
Absolutely, I would, Claire. Because, you know, and this is the reason why I wrote the book in the first place. It's not a book about abuse. This is a book about hope, recovery, getting well, and the way that I did that was through counselling, starting with White Oaks and finishing with the Rape Crisis Centre. And if people feel strong enough to be able to reach out, that is what they should do. I'd urge them to do that. And as you say, not everyone is coming from the background that I am. But you know what? For a child, trauma is trauma. We don't, you know, as children, we don't know that the child next to us is not suffering the same thing. When a child is struggling, that's trauma. So whatever it is that goes on in your past that's actually causing you a problem now, then you need someone like me. Absolutely reach out and go to a counsellor that works with childhood issues. It's the best way forward.
Would you say you're happy now?
Totally. Totally. I have my own little house in Ballintra. I have a garden shed. I've written my book, which is something I wanted to do for quite a long time. And I now work with people to help them get well. Why would I not be happy?
Well, it's a wonderful story. And the book is really, apart from being excellent, you sort of lose yourself in this story. And the book is Grace Saved a Wretch Like Me. And Arlene self-published this book. And it is, as I said earlier, it is available in all good bookshops.
Also on Amazon, if anyone feels, you know, that they want to. It's on Kindle and you can buy it on paperback on Amazon.
Okay, so that is Arlene Murphy from Ballyshannon, and her book is Grace Saved a Wretch Like Me. Arlene, thank you very much indeed, actually, for sharing that story with us this morning. And no matter how hard life seems to some people, there's always a light, or maybe even a garden shed.
Absolutely, absolutely. you've got it spot on. Thank you so much, Claire. Thank you.
That saved a wretch like me.
That's it for this week's Up and Running. Thanks to all my guests this morning, and most importantly, thanks to you for listening. Niall Delaney is up next with the best of this week's Northwest Today. If you would like to listen back to any of this show, you can go to oceanfm.ie, click podcast, or you can also find it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Ocean FM Ireland. Until next week, thanks for listening.